And what a mighty outpouring he's given us. In the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, is where we'll be reading from this morning. If you'd like to go with us and follow along with us today in the Word. And my heart's leaping with joy from these songs and testimonies this morning. That's what church is all about. Knowing that you've been there and that you felt the presence of the Almighty God. And if you today don't know him as your personal Savior, I want you to just examine yourself and say, what would I do if my life come to an end today? What would I do? Who would I call upon? And would he hear me? You know who to call on. Would he hear me? Or have I gone too far? So listen to these words today in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, reading the first four verses and then taking our thought and trying to bring a message if it be the Lord's will. He said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And stop reading there with that fourth verse today. Taking our thought this morning from the third verse, and bring it to you a message entitled, Salvation is Great. Salvation is Great. And the song they just sung goes right along with our thought this morning. And to the Hebrews, Paul was sending this message to them, giving this message to them that we ought to give heed unto the things which we have heard. The things that you have heard, even in this service this morning, the things that you heard with an audible voice and those things which you heard through a spiritual speaking to your heart and your soul. He said, because the word is steadfast, the word will stand either for you or it will stand against you. Because every transgression and disobedience will receive a recompense of reward. Everything that we've done contrary to God's word, we have a debt that we have to pay. And it's a debt that, even though it's our debt, we can't pay the debt because there's not enough good works, there's not enough money, there's not enough good deeds to try to pay for the debt that we owe. But aren't you thankful this morning, church, that Jesus paid it all so we could have salvation? And not just any salvation, but salvation is great because we know that it was God that made it so that we could have what we feel in our heart and souls on this Sunday morning. Salvation is great. There's nothing that can compare with salvation. I've experienced a lot of good things in this life. From being raised, Jack, in a good family, having good churches that we went to through the years, and then God giving us our own family. And I've witnessed a lot of things in life that have just been wonderful. But I've never experienced anything that compares with knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Nothing in this life compares to it. I've had a lot of good times, Brother Ron. And this world has good times to be had. But none of them compare to what God gave to us when we come, as Cody testified, as a 12-year-old child and gave our heart and life to Jesus Christ. Salvation is great. When we look at all the things that salvation does for us, I believe every one of us have to say it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. There's so many things that's attached to salvation that makes it, you know, when I got saved, I thought, well, I just got saved and I have to worry about dying and going to hell. But there's a lot more that goes along with salvation. A lot of things that we didn't even know about. And really, to be open with you this morning, I really didn't care about. The only thing I was interested in is I didn't want to die and go to hell for eternity. And salvation come, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to this poor boy. Salvation is great, but when we begin to look at salvation, it's great because of who founded it. Salvation was founded by Christ himself. He preached it to them on the seashores and in the cities. He preached to them that I am he that would come to bring the word of life unto a lost and dying world. He did not come just to perform miracles or to gain popularity, but he came to pay a price that he didn't even know. It's great because that he not just preached it, as it says in that third verse, but he lived it. He lived it. No other man since the beginning of time has ever lived the life that Christ did. For 33 and a third years, he was here upon this earth, and he lived a perfect life, a sinless life. There was no sin in him. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And because he was perfect, he made a perfect way for us to escape death, hell, and the grave. Its price was great. Not just anybody could pay it. In fact, in the book of Revelations, it says, and the books was open, and another book was open. But prior to that, or right after that, it says it like this. But who was found worthy to open the books thereof? There was none that was found worthy. But then there was a cry that went out through the heavens. Hallelujah. And said, Father, I'll go and pay that debt. Can I preach this morning? He paid the debt for me. He paid the debt for you. And for you and for all of mankind, it's all been paid for. All you have to do is receive it and you shall be saved, because he said that this promise is unto you and unto your children, even to them that are far off. As many that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Its founder was great. Its price was so high. And he made a plan of salvation that nobody would be left out. Not Jew, not Greek, not Gentile. In fact, let's go to the day that he was crucified, when they said, let's put the name over the cross, at the top of the cross, King of the Jews. And they said, why don't you write it that he said he was King of the Jews? And the king said, what I have written, I have written. And not only did they put it there for that congregation, but it was written in three languages. You know, that blesses my heart. You know why? It was written that regardless who walked past him, they saw the sign above his head that said King of the Jews. And today he is still King of the Jews. How many of you are born again Jew in Christ Jesus? Amen. Amen. You say, I thought you was American. I'm American by birth. I'm Jewish by my spiritual birth. And I'm proud of it today. When we think of why salvation is so great, and I made mention just a few minutes ago that there are benefits that come with knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. How many of you have ever been healed since you've been saved? Some of you will shout in a minute. When we think about salvation and all that comes with it, He said it like this, that because we are his children, anything we have need of, we can ask of the Father and he will give it to us. You say, well, I've asked for a lot of things and God never has given them to me. I believe that we ought to ask from the sincerity of our heart, not with just our mind, but what is it that you really, really want? How many of you remember a message I preached here a few years ago that said, if you could ask God for anything, what would it be? The things of this world, when you're sick, don't hold water. The things of this world, when your child is awry, doesn't mean very much. The things of this world, when your loved ones are dying and going to hell, doesn't mean very much. If I could ask you for anything, it would be, Lord, heal my people. Physically and spiritually, heal them today. And not just does it bring healing to us, but how many of us have been delivered by God? Time and time again, God delivers again and again. How many of y'all remember the singing cooks singing that song? And my God delivers again. Standing there by the Red Sea with Pharaoh and his army behind. Moses said unto them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What he was saying is, watch God work. How many of us can go to things in our life and say, you should have been there. Oh, you should have seen what God did. He sent the healing I needed. He sent the need that needed to be filled. He sent that person by me at the right time to help me along the journey. Not only does he give us the bodily healing and deliverances, but David said in the book of Psalms that salvation is great because it brings joy and peace to us. I can lay down at night and say, if I don't see the dawning of another day, family and friends, don't you worry about me. Brother Wayne, if I go before you, I'll meet you on the other side of the river. After you've been there for a million years or two, maybe look around and we'll get together and we'll have a good old time of worship. How many of you enjoy worship in the house of the Lord? Let me tell you, you've not seen worship yet. When we as God's people gather around the throne and somebody starts singing that song that the angels can't sing, we're going to worship him like we've never worshiped him before. There'll be moms and dads and boys and girls there. Some that's never shouted before. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory. They'll be singing. They'll be praise and worship. Let me preach. You know, sometimes people say, I wish our churches would get more sophisticated and wouldn't be so loud and rambunctious. Folks, you better not go to heaven because there won't be a dry eye there. There won't be a voice that won't be singing. There will not be anybody there that won't be happy to be where they're at. You say, Roger, you said there won't be a dry eye there, but yet the Bible says, and God shall wipe away every tear from our eye. You know what the Lord laid up on my heart many years ago? Why do we cry most of the time on this side? Is it not because of pain and suffering and loss? When we get to heaven, there'll be no more pain, suffering, or loss. But there'll still be a reason to cry. Because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be high and lifted up in that city. And his people will be there worshiping him for all eternity. David said in the book of Psalms in the 68th chapter in the 19th verse, it's a great salvation because my benefits are renewed daily. I was talking with Rob the other evening after church, and he was telling me about his insurance, and his short term is about to expire. It's terrible because they don't have long term. And it got me to thinking about knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. His benefits never expire. Some of you, you ought to be worshiping this morning. His benefits are renewed every day. Everything that He gave me yesterday is mine again for today and tomorrow and the next day. There is no expiration date on the benefits God has for us. You say, what kind of benefits does He have for you? He woke me up this morning. He gave me health and strength as far as I know. He gave me brothers and sisters today and a church where you can feel the presence of God. And He's got more for us. More for us. If the sun comes up tomorrow, I'll have a new set of benefits that I'll get to enjoy. How many of you enjoy your life? You see, sometimes I got to prompt you to get involved in the service. I enjoy the living. Even with the times that there are frustrations. How many of you have had frustrations this week? Even through those frustrations, I enjoy life because I know the frustrations can't last forever. Joy is coming in the morning. The Bible teaches us that salvation is great because it not just covered the past, it covers the present, and it covers the future. You see, Brother Jim, when I got saved, I don't have to worry about losing what God gave to me. I don't have to worry about the devil coming in and taking it away and I become lost again. How many of you believe on this Sunday morning, once saved, always saved by the grace of God? Amen. Oh, that ought to make us want to rejoice. The devil can't get in and take out what God put in there. In fact, God's word says that He put a hedge round about it to protect it. Isn't that called a wall? Oh. Oh. I'll try not to get political. He put a wall around our hearts to keep the devil from getting back in and taken away. Because if it were possible, I would have lost it a long time ago. Don't get me wrong. I have sinned and come short. I have failed Him. But through it all, I've never lost my salvation. Because you can't do it. I heard somebody say that. The Bible says and teaches us today that salvation is great because it comes with a confirmation. How many of you know that you know that you got saved? You say, I know I got saved because the pastor wrote my name in the church book. I know I got saved because the pastor or the deacons talked to me and they confirmed it for me. I know I got saved because I've been baptized. No, I know I got saved because I went to an altar. I cried out on the name of Jesus and forgiveness come from heaven. And the confirmation was sealed by the Holy Spirit. I didn't have to ask anybody, did I get it? I knew. And the only way I knew is because the burden was lifted. And now I can sleep and I don't have to worry about hell and destruction. You see, today you need to go back to the first verse and not forget what you've heard. It wasn't man that taught me about it. It was God that taught me about it. Through the Holy Spirit, He came down. And He confirmed what I experienced in my heart. And so I remember conviction. It felt like my heart was about to leap out of my chest. I felt like my knees were wobbly. I looked at that aisleway and it was just a small house that had been converted to a church. And the aisleway wasn't that long to the altar. But it looked like a landing strip for a jumbo jet. It looked like it was that far away. But the moment that I got enough faith and I took that first step. There's a song that says, something about, I remember the walk down to the altar. I don't remember anything but the first step. And the reason being is because God met me there. And he, what did he do when he found that one sheep that had gone astray? He carried it back to the sheepfold. I believe he carried me to the altar, and I was able to find the forgiveness of my sins. Salvation is great because it only comes with two requirements. Only two. Grace and faith. If you have the faith, God's got the grace. His grace is sufficient for me and you today. You say two requirements. All and really, Brother Charlie, he gave us the other requirement that we needed. He gave us faith. Does not the scripture say that God gave to every soul, every man, a portion, a measure of faith? God gave it to us. And then he shows us grace. It just goes to show us today, everything we needed to become born again by God, he did it all. He paid the price. He gave us faith. And he showed grace to us. And I'm thankful for grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I have the greatest salvation that there is. Nobody can convince me that there's another way. Jesus Christ is the way. The only way. Salvation is great because there's only one way, one name, I should say, to get it from. In the book of Acts, in the 4th chapter, in the 12th verse, he says that there is no other name among men, or given among men under heaven, that you can call upon for salvation. There's only one name. It's not Allah. It's not Muhammad. It's not Hare Krishna. It is not Buddha. There's only one name. And it is the sweetest name that you'll ever hear. The name of Jesus Christ. And he shall save his people from their sins. I am one of his people today. The only name that you can call upon for salvation. It's not in mom and dad. It's not in grandma and grandpa. It's in Jesus Christ only today. Contrary to what the world is teaching, there's not multiple ways to come to know him. There's only one way. And how many of you still believe in the knee route way? Amen. We've gotten so sophisticated, we've even tried to take that out of it. But folks, there's only one thing I know about, and that's what I've experienced for myself. There is no place like an altar of prayer to go up and ask God for forgiveness of your sin. The Bible says, salvation is great because of its simplicity. You think about this. Every other religion says that you have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through. Salvation is so simple that the writer said, though a man be a wayfaring man, a fool, he could not err therein. Nobody will be able to stand before God and say it was too hard to get saved. As we taught in Sunday school, it was too hard to keep the law. But Jesus come and he brought grace to us. You say, does that mean I don't have to worry about the law anymore? The law is a schoolmaster to us. The law brings us to the knowledge of sin. But where the law could not save us, here comes grace by Jesus himself. And he offers it to each and every one of us. Salvation is great. When I heard old timers speak about how good it was to be saved, I thought they was exaggerating. I'll just be open with you. I thought they'd been coaxed into believing this story. And you know what God did? He offered it to me. I took it and I found out what they was talking about. Church, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? Is it salvation great this morning? To know that you've been born again. To know that your name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To know that all sin has been forgiven you, put as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Salvation is the greatest thing that you could ever experience in this life. I'll close in just a minute. Becky and I, when we first got married, my aunt, by marriage, was telling us that, you know, some of the greatest things there is in life, that you ought to, before you get married and settle down and have kids, you ought to travel the world and see all the great things that's out there. I want you to know today that in the spiritual realm, I have never traveled the world. I have never seen some of these great places that people talk about and how beautiful they are. But because of my salvation, I have seen things that this world can't compare. I've seen moms and dads broken, boys and girls broken, and walk down to a church. I want you to know this morning, there is no more beautiful sight than seeing a lost person walk down an aisle and giving their life to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is nothing more beautiful than seeing a child that was away from God get up with tears and walk down an aisle and say, Lord, I'm sorry I failed you. There's nothing that's more beautiful than a bunch of people sitting in a church and the Holy Ghost falls and it fills their hearts and their faces begin to give expressions that they just can't capture any other way. There's nothing more beautiful than that. There's nothing that's more beautiful than people who love each other. Not because we deserve that love, but because we're trying to duplicate the love that Jesus showed to us. Many of us aren't that lovable. Let's just be open, all right? Anybody else want to confess with Roger? We're just not that lovable. But there's a song that they used to sing that said, he's still working on me. He's had to take the chisel to me a time or two and knock some rough places out. He's had to teach me some patience. And folks, don't ever ask God for patience. Because in order to get patience, you have to go through tribulation. I've had to go through some of that. You know why? Because the Adam nature was still there. And it's still there today. But God is still working on me. One day, I've got great news for you. I'm going to be perfect. But you won't see me on this side. I'll be on the other side. Salvation is the greatest thing that anybody could ever experience. We have folks here that's been saved 40, 50, maybe even 60 years. Anybody been saved more than 60 years? All right. 70 years? All right, we got some that's at 60. Is it not the best thing that ever happened to you? To know that you are saved by the grace of God. To know that everything is all right between you and God. And to know that God loves you more than you love yourself. That's how much he loves you today. As Robin Sharon gave us a song this morning. You see, I see Mike and Rachel holding those babies in their arms. And they probably thought there was no way that they could ever love like they love those kids. Amen. I got a grandma who said amen. But you know what God does for us? He gives us a little taste of how much He loves us. Just a little taste of how much He loves us. And no matter if they're sick, you'll stay up with them every hour to make sure they're all right. When they fall down, you're there to pick them up. When they hurt, you're there to try to ease their pain. And when they're trying to comprehend something and they just can't get it, you're there to try to explain it to them. And you have big hopes and dreams for those children. It's all a picture of God toward me and toward you. Every time I've fallen, He's picked me up. Every time my heart was broken, He comforted me. Every time I was sick, He was my physician. Every time I was down and out, He was there to encourage me. Salvation is great because it comes from a great God. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we invite you to come and accept Him before it's everlasting too late. Follow your heart this morning. Salvation is great. The best thing that could ever happen is for you to receive this invitation today. Now it's up to you. He did all the work. All you have to do is accept it, and He will save you. While they pause for just a minute. Today, the invitation that you've received, there's nothing like it in this world. Nothing to compare. Just think about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has talked to you individually. You say, Roger, you're the one that brought the message. But how many of us will agree that when you're under conviction somewhere along the journey, you lose hearing of what the preacher is preaching, and you feel that still small voice speaking just to you. See, Charlie, I thought the preacher had talked to mom and dad and knew everything that I was experiencing. But then I remembered I didn't tell mom and dad. That's powerful. I didn't tell anybody else. He knew because He saw my heart. He sees your heart today. Of all the invitations that you've had in life, of all the opportunities you've had, the one right now is the most important. Because this could change your whole future. Not just today, but not just tomorrow, but your whole future. So while they sing one last verse in chorus, I ask you today, why not God? Why not accept Him? Don't forget what you've heard. Don't forget it. Because it was God that spoke to your heart. Yes. Because there will be a recompense if you don't. For all the sin. One more time. How many of you will say salvation is the greatest thing that ever happened to you? Amen. It's the greatest thing. I don't know if there's nothing in this world to compare it to. People say, tell me how good it is. I don't have the vocabulary. Webster don't have enough words, enough adjectives to describe how good it is. Just not enough words. But we still try to tell it the best we can. I hope you've enjoyed. If you haven't enjoyed being here today, something is just wrong with you. Right? Your wood is completely wet. You're waterlogged or something. But you know what? Church, don't we have an instance in the Bible where somebody's wood was all wet and it still caught on fire? Amen. God will get you. He'll get you. God bless you. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And I appreciate the words from Jack and also from Cody this morning. You know, preachers need to hear that every once in a while, that somebody's paying attention and it's helping them in their life. I find the more we pay attention, the more help we'll get in our life. So get you some good lunch and get you a nap if you need it, and come back tonight ready to worship the Lord. God bless you today.